Yes, hi, hey, hello, g'day, and welcome back to the Coast Football Ramble Podcast. This week, we celebrate over 450 minutes without conceding a goal. We celebrate our latest Socceroo, Josh Nisbet. And of course, as always, we answer your questions. I'm Pete, and I'm joined by Tice and Morrow.
G'day, Pete.
Lads. Hello.
G'day.
Hello. It's been 84 years.
No, it hasn't been. It's only been 42.
It's only been 42. Yeah. How do you figure that?
Well, we're measuring it in dog's years. Well, similar to dog's years anyway, because we've played twice as much football, or maybe three times as much football as any other time. So therefore, time's flying by. There's no time for podcasting. So it's only been 42 years, just saying.
We have missed you all very dearly, of course. The real legitimate reason for our absence, though, we have been involved in a silent protest until Nizzy made his Socceroos debut, which he now, of course, has. I didn't inform you guys of this protest, but here we are.
It's great to be coming out of protesting.
Yeah, so I wasn't aware of it, but it brought a smile to my face when I heard of it, just right this second. That is a good one. There's like a lot of good news on this podcast, though, isn't there? Not just Niz's fantasticness, but
oh, I mean, look at it. Like
in
I said,
42 years, I repeat, 42 years, a lot happens.
So, yep. I mean,
not all of it good either, by the way.
Just 10 clean sheets in our last 12 games. That's a positive.
That's on the positives. Yeah. How good is that?
I mean, we're not going to have time to review every game that we've played over the last sort of month and a half since we last got together. But we'll touch on the key aspects.
Yeah. Last time I was on the podcast, we were not doing too well. I think we were two games in and was that two losses? And we're starting to get a bit worried about Jackson, if he was the right person for the job. Some fans were asking to send him back home, bring Monty back. But he's turned it around since and we look pretty damn good.
Oh, hasn't he? What? Yeah. And bringing the best out of a lot of players who maybe took a little bit of time to settle. Let's talk about one of them now. Aussie Mike. Michael Docker.
Docker 2.0.
Mikhail Docker, of course. Absolutely flying. Let's have a bit of a chat in particular about the MacArthur game, our most recent A-League game down there. Picking up 3 points in a 3-0 victory back on the 10th of March. Fellas, what a performance.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep. Just ran them all over the park, I think.
Mm. Just better in every way, really, yep, in the end. And we just ground that down to being, we got what we needed in the end in a nice, spectacular way that we'd get to, I suppose. But yeah, we were just better, which is a little bit bizarre because, yep.
Too intense for them. Forced errors high up the park. Capitalised on those errors.
Carbon copy of goal from previous
week. I was about to say week. Goal, and it was the week before that Nizzy scored up in Newcastle. Did it again down in Campbelltown. Goal maybe, and assist.
Maybe he's been left-footed all along. He just didn't know it.
Wow.
Maybe he just needs to shoot on the turn every time, yeah, right? Yeah.
No thinking, just turn and bang.
Yeah. The new Kwasnik. Yeah.
The first one was decent, but the second one was spectacular.
The one against MacArthur was, yeah,
it was a great finish.
Super, yeah, super.
And the assist for Barcelos. Nutmeg.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Cheeky. Yeah.
Well, how can you resist him for Socceroos?
Mm.
Simple.
Barcelos is starting to be a bit of a return on the investment as well.
Loves scoring in Campbelltown, apparently.
He does.
Knows how to do it. Looks a bit awkward sometimes, I reckon. But
sometimes he looks like he's got an injured back.
Yeah.
But yeah. Pulls off stepovers and wriggles his way out of challenges and...
Mm. Can't say you're not impressed. Anyone can get the ball in the net. That's something in football, you know. Without even the joke of it. Like some players, I don't know, to be frank, I've played with players who are 1 metre from the goal line and they're looking for the pass.
Like Nizzy versus Victory. Sorry, Niz.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how does he go from that down at Amy Park to then scoring two on the bounce in the A-League?
Yeah, I think he overthought it.
Do you think? Yeah, he had too much time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Distracted by Dan Hall.
That's what he said. I mean, in fairness, it's hard not to be distracted by Dan Hall. He is a beautiful man. Let's be real.
Dan was probably already celebrating the goal. We know how much he loves to hype goals up for his mates.
That's fair. He's going all right too, isn't he?
Yeah, the Pacific partnership at centre-back there between he and Kalzak.
Yeah, it's a good revival seeing Hawley back.
Mm.
He went a bit rocky for a bit, but yeah, he's looking pretty solid at the moment.
I think consistent game time as well. You know, we sometimes forget how young he is. You know, he's what, 24? So he's still got a fair bit of development ahead of him as a footballer, and he's one that he's gonna be missed next season.
Mm,
for sure. For sure. Mm. Waited for his chance patiently, got it, basically forced Nathan Paul out of the team.
Mm.
And has really taken that to me. So, yeah, fantastic.
Yep.
And got us back to that place where, you know, used to be all we need is a team of Daniel Halls.
And maybe chuck a couple of nizzies in there too for good measure, right?
What about Michael Docker?
Michael Docker.
Get him in.
Aussie Mike.
Knows how to take a... Oh, no, actually.
Say less.
Almost got there.
I think the Pens now have got to go back to Edmo, right?
It's a very weird one, actually, because tell me if I'm wrong, but for me, Michael, he's come from nowhere. No one's interested in his contribution because he hasn't really been in the squad. He gets a couple of opportunities. I think we might have played him up a bit forward with Storm.
We're playing him in front of
Western Sydney, or maybe the game before. Still didn't star, nothing amazing.
Mm.
The penalty comes up. He decides he's taking it. I'm sitting in the stand thinking, please don't.
It was like when Benny took the penalty against, was it Wanderers?
Oh, yes.
And everyone was nervous.
I was like, oh, no, don't do this. But then he gets the pen, and then all of a sudden he goes poof, and turns into another player. He's dominating games and making runs and runs all the way from the halfway line into the edge of the box and scores crackers. And
the Panenka pen as well that he took.
Wow.
The confidence of the lad.
Yeah, just went bang.
He looked pretty good at the start of the season and in some of the preseason games, I think.
Yeah.
And then just fell off a cliff. I don't know what happened to him. He lost all his confidence.
Yeah.
And Rubik started playing out of his skin.
Yeah.
He's had an awesome season.
Again.
Yeah. Yes. Very consistent footballer. But yeah, Docker's just, I think it was that penalty. Yeah.
Yeah.
New confidence and just, he's turned into a weapon.
Yep. Inspired, but then still missed the other one. But it doesn't seem.
He hit the post. It was millimetres off.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem.
Even the best players miss penalties from time to time.
It doesn't seem to have dented his confidence, though, because I thought it might. But I reckon that since then he's still maintained that form. So, yeah, sort of fair play to him.
Got to give a lot of credit to Danny Vukovic as well. Turned 39 today as well. Happy birthday, Vuka. But, you know, 10 clean sheets in 12 games is some achievement. He's the first keeper to hit 100 clean sheets in the A-League as well.
It's quite an achievement.
Decent.
Incredible.
Dees.
So about 40 years ago when we played against Phnom Penh, I did bail up Danny at the fence. Actually, was that the hat-trick night? Yeah, I did have a word to... young Edmondson as well. But I bailed up Danny at the fence and just insisted that he come onto the podcast so that we could demand that he stays next year.
Yeah.
Which he was sort of, you know, lukewarm on the idea that he could come so that we could demand that. But he did say that he was feeling a lot better this year than he was last year, which is a really good sign. So, because what a keeper. He's just...
I think he's performing better than he was last year
as
well.
He's, again, the best keeper in the league. There's a lot of our players, you could say, are playing in their position best in the league at the moment, though, to be fair.
Yeah, we're looking really solid at the back.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I wouldn't begrudge him another year. I mean, I don't think anyone can. I'd love to see him go around again. He's off contract at the end of the season, of course, and I think, you know, he probably won't make a decision until the end of the season. But if he's feeling confident in his body, then why not?
When there's enough time for a player interview between matches...
Mm.
We need to get him on here and we'll sign him right here on this table.
Get him on the books at Priority Player Management.
Someone bring a drink coaster and we'll get him signed right here.
I'll use the same napkin that I used to sign Mickey Glasic, actually, yeah.
that's fair, yeah.
Since we last got together, fellas, as well, the Amy Park hoodoo, speaking of, it's been 84 years, our first ever victory against the Vark at Amy Park. Thank God. Christ.
I think Josh Howe's taking credit for that, isn't he? It was one of the first games he's missed and he dead set claimed it.
Yeah, yeah, well, yep.
That's fair. As long as he sticks to that particular behaviour.
He's not allowed back there. Yeah.
Yeah. Never to be
banned.
Yeah. Is that only for victory games?
Put photos up of his face at Amy Park. Do not admit this person.
Banning order.
At the ticket office.
Josh Howe from Twitter.
perhaps not a not exactly a vintage performance by any stretch of the imagination, but signs of a championship side is you know, you're still winning when you're not performing at your best.
I think the only vintage performance was from Barcelos, didn't he get sent off straight away? 20 seconds in?
Yeah, he did.
What a mental game, though. Dead set.
I still don't understand the second victory red card.
No. Neither do I.
It just didn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. I mean, I had to laugh at it because it's not happening to us for a change, you know. But yeah, this was just absolute scenes.
Yeah.
There's a thing going decision. On. There's a thing going on, though, with some consistency of decisions, isn't there? Like, does anyone think Faz maybe had a red card offence against Western Sydney?
Nah, not at all. That's just West Sydney football.
Probably.
Yep, fair enough.
Probably could have been a red card. Yeah. It should have been a red card, yeah.
Well, the thing is that for me, there seems to be a lot of really soft red cards we've lost.
There should have been Davila on us as well. Yeah. Could have been a red card.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That was filthy.
Yeah. And there was force in that one.
Yeah.
Was it Jamar? Against Wanderers,
that
stomped
familiar,
on someone.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he ended up scoring the winner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's where the whole Marco Rudan stigma rant came from, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm not going to say
these weird decisions.
I'm not going to say I like these soft pens because I just think that we're not measuring in those replays the amount of force in some of these challenges, and that is relevant. Force is relevant. Simple as that. If there's a tiny connection and it's the stud that connects, then that's not necessarily a red card. But if it is dangerous enough, and
which incident are you talking about?
All of them that we have softened our view on what is a red card. Simple as that. Doesn't mean it's not a red card. By the letter of the law, all of these appear to be red cards, including the Barcelos one. But I didn't think in real time that there was any force in that Barcelos challenge, for example. So for me, that's not a red card in the tradition of how football has been. It just is now because when we look at it on a video, you can see that the stud's connected with his shin.
It's the raking motion as well that he goes down with. I think it was his calf, wasn't it? He went down the back of the leg and
yeah, and there's been several, not just our club, like that.
But there's also been several that have been unpunished. So it's the consistency.
Yeah, so we'll all have our opinion about what should or shouldn't be one. But at the same time, yeah, that consistency doesn't exist, does it?
Look, I'm fine with it. There were some people trying to argue that Miranda shouldn't have been sent off the first red card.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, that one's legit, but the second
one. It was a yellow card, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was that one a straight red in the end?
Miranda's one. I think it was straight red.
Was it? I thought it was the second.
I thought it was the second yellow.
Oh, second yellow, yeah.
Which, you can't really complain about that. He pulled the guy down when he's running through on goal.
Yeah.
But the other one,
the other one was just not a red card at all.
That was dogs, though, wasn't it? And it wasn't.
Gary was in front of him still.
Yeah. But yeah, this inconsistency means who knows? I mean, yeah, nobody knows. Nobody knows what the rules are.
Welcome to the A-League where the rules are made up and the goal difference doesn't matter.
Well, apparently they're trying to do something about it. It's not noticeable to me, but let's see how they go over the...
Wait and see. We travelled up to Newcastle as well the following week. Yet another win, another piece of concrete to the trophy cabinet as we claim the F3 Derby trophy once again, 2 years running.
Yeah, Jets are rubbish.
Yeah.
And again, I think for much of it, we played down to their level.
Yeah, we definitely dropped a level. We're pretty wasteful in front of goal from memory, or at least in the final third in terms of creating chances. Moving the ball around in the centre of the park and stuff, we dominated, I think, but getting to the final third, we were a bit sloppy.
Feels a little bit like Jackson has got some solutions for the common things that we're encountering from the other teams trying to strategise against the way we play the game, which I like because we have these periods in games. The one that was the most noticeable was the Sydney one, of course, where there was like 20 or 30 minutes when we couldn't get a foot on the ball and everything they touched turned to goal. And they forced most of that or a fair bit of that.
They were relentless.
Yeah, but not all of it. They just got a little bit lucky as well. But there's been a bit of a sniff of that in some of our other performances where there's been 15 minutes, especially in the first half, where we're not really cutting the mustard, but we seem to be able to change things and get up a gear and so forth, which is... Yeah.
That's a little bit of a common thing for Sydney though, I think. And that's one thing I'm worried about coming up this weekend is they've been going really hard in the first few minutes. I think it was the game after that they scored a couple of early ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was that against then, Wellington? Same sort of situation, maybe a bit of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they scored. They went up against Wellington early.
Actually, Wellington came back and won that,
Wellington
didn't they?
Wellington came back and won.
Oh, okay, yeah. But still, they had that hot streak at the start where they put a couple away.
Yeah, I remember group chat was popping off. I think I was in the middle of trying to commentate a game at the time. My phone just kept going, vroom, vroom, and everyone's going, oh, Sydney are really worrying me. Sydney look red hot, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why aren't you watching NPL, guys? Yeah.
But I feel like, I guess my point was that I feel like Jackson has started to condition me to think that he will have some kind of plan for that when it happens next.
Which, yeah, he seems to have answers, doesn't he?
Yeah, which, you know, shout out to Paolo, but...
there it is.
Do plan A better.
and he's come out and said, you know, he's got various plans for, you know, they do a lot of research, both him and Danny Schofield, his assistant there, putting in a lot, an immense amount of hours. I've been told that Danny Schofield does more hours than Sergio used to do here. In terms of his research and video analysis, and it's mental.
Because we don't seem to play like the exact same way every game. It seems doesn't seem to be too many common things. So I assume that's hard to coach against as well for the opposition.
Yeah. And Jacko seems to be able to react to the situations much quicker than I think any other coach we've ever had.
Yeah, and he's changing up the personnel quite a bit. I don't know if that's because we don't have any strikers in form at the moment, but he seems to be mixing that up quite a bit too.
That's a really good point. And so's your one, actually, because even the great Monty was susceptible to not making changes that change the situation sometimes and us getting frustrated about that. So, it does feel a bit too comfortable, actually, that our coach is doing.
Doubted him.
I legitimately didn't. I'm going to take it.
I got a little bit worried, especially after the – on the podcast here, I wasn't too bothered after the first couple of games. You needed time.
Yeah.
Then I think the next game was like, oh, did I speak too soon? Are we starting to look a bit very good? But he turned it around.
There was a bit of jack out, or was it jack off early in the piece here?
Yeah.
On this podcast. But mostly it was not from Peter and I. Hello, Luke. Oh, he's not here.
Conspicuous in his absence today, isn't he?
Shout out to Luke.
Before we go too much further, big shout out to Luke and Rhiannon, of course, have just had a beautiful second child there, a beautiful second baby boy. So everything, mother, son, and father, all going well by all reports. So brilliant news.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done, Lukey.
But no podcasting.
Yeah.
Daddy duties.
We granted him paternity leave. It took a while, but it is mandated by the podcast union, of course, that we have to give 6 weeks of pat leave there. So, yeah.
Pay rate sounded a bit rough. Just leave that there.
he's full credit for the way that he turned it around. You know, four A-League games without a win. You know, we were still flying in the AFC Cup, but you know, you can only beat what's in front of you over there, right? So that sort of papered over the cracks for long enough, I think, for, you know, fans to get back on side very quickly. And what a way to turn it around with the Derby win as well, his first win in the A-League.
Yeah, that's another thing to mention is he's been doing that with a lot of extra games that, say, Monty didn't have to deal with.
Yeah. It seems like it's helped, would you say?
It's kept momentum, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of...
It helped us, like Pete said, it helped us play into form.
And also with the player rotations, it's given us a chance to play some players who maybe we thought are unfashionable and then turn them into people who score penalties in someone else. You know?
Like Michael.
This is what's been happening. Like, you know, Edmondson gets a hat-trick, but these players getting opportunities, more chances.
Max and Nizzy are just running the show.
Bossing it.
Yeah. The amount of miles they've been putting in their legs. And they just don't seem to drop at all. I mean, yeah, Nizzy's getting assists now.
Nizzy's played, what, every minute since round four or something like that. It's incredible. And I spoke to him after one of the AFC Cup games. He goes, a little tired, I guess.
I think you might have told me he's already played like a full A-League season worth of minutes.
And then some, yeah.
Yeah. That was a few weeks ago. That was like 84 years ago.
It's mental, you know. And, you know, speaking to all the boys, they're just in absolute awe. The kid's a freak. You know, he's traveling with the Socceroos now as well. He's down in Canberra, got minutes last night for the Roos. So, and fully deserved as well, making his Socceroos debut.
We're begging for him to get arrested. He finally gets arrested. Now we're going, put him in the Socceroos. Give him minutes.
Start him.
He doesn't need a rest.
That's fair. He's doing better without a rest.
Yeah. How long may it continue? Yeah.
And it's really interesting the dynamic that's shifted last year for me when we wanted to get out of defence and push them back, but we didn't have the counter, the fast counter in that moment, then mostly we give it to Benny and Benny would waste time doing some circles and stuff without losing the ball and give it to someone else who could do something useful with it. Now that's become Niz's role, which I was worried about actually at the start of this season, that with the loss of Benny would make it harder for us to get teams. Like just that doing these little twirl and wasting 5 seconds meant they would all walk back another 10 metres and that would force our field position a lot. But Niz is that man now. But he's a fair bit better at it than Benny.
Ball speed is heaps quicker in transition now, yeah. I've seen.
Yeah. And I was about to say, so we're a lot more efficient with the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so direct. Like he just goes straight out.
Well, him playing as a 10 allows him to be a lot more direct. And you've got Maxi in that 8 role, who's that sort of deep-lying playmaker who's got a lot of verticality about him as well, right? He loves going forward. Yeah. And then Tappy, who's got a great range of passing and he's the absolute workhorse at the base of the midfield. What a trio.
Yeah, Tappy's played really well Harry's absence.
Yep.
Yeah, he's doing really well.
Yeah, we're spoilt for choice there in that centre of the park with Nizzy, Maxi, Tappy, Steely. And a couple of good players coming through the pipeline in the NPL as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Lucas Scicluna is one of
Scicluna looks really hot.
He's a prospect,
I'm sure it's only a matter of time before he's in the first team.
Yeah. And Maxim Kasalovic is still at the club too, so we've got options.
How good do those sort of, you know, future rotations look? We know that it's likely that we are going to lose Niz somewhere. Maxi gone. Mm. Steely and Tappy, anyone?
More than happy for Steely and Tappy to step up. Yeah.
Neither of them is the Niz role that we've got him doing right now, but that's maybe something else, and I'm not sure if he can just get that out of anybody, but we can certainly, replace that sort of hard nose of the midfield with those pair.
Yeah.
And if we can get some creativity in front of it to replace the Nizzy part, then we can get away with it. But how long can we keep being this team?
Till we win the treble, baby. It's coming. It's all coming home.
Yeah, I've almost put that in my pocket now, but no, not really. But yeah, it's going on and on. Doesn't show any signs of stopping. Touch wood.
Yeah, I can't work out who can really beat us. Maybe Sydney.
And where is our weak spot?
I'm looking at the rest of the other teams and they just don't look very good.
Mm.
That is true to say that Sydney did trouble us a little in that, you know, portion of the game where they dominated. And, you know, another point of view to the Jacko changed things and made it better is Sydney sat back and let us have more than we had before because they were 3 goals up. Mm. But I think that we made change.
I think Jing stuffed up a bit of a 1-on-1 in the second half. That could have been another story.
Game changer, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, things went wrong for us in that Sydney game afterwards, even when we turned it around. Like, for instance, if I remember rightly, Storm comes on as a substitute about 60 minutes or something like this, gets belted by somebody and ends up back off again about 15 minutes later because he had a blood wound that couldn't be stopped.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So he just made a change. And in fact, maybe he was even involved in that Jing thing. And so we're looking good all of a sudden, and then the player who's making us that improvement has had to be removed through injury. So it was a pretty tough ask. But it's our chance to work out whether Sydney have anything, because I haven't seen much from anyone else.
Mm.
Yeah, Sydney have the players to do it, but other than that, yeah, like I said, a lot of the other teams just look pretty average this year.
Mm. Let's touch on it because obviously we take on Sydney down at Sydney Football Stadium this weekend, Saturday 7:45, the prime time kick off. Let's go. They do have, you know, some pretty impressive personnel in the likes of Robbie Mack and Joe Lolly. Joe Lolly, who has been, you know, one of the best attacking players in the league this season.
Yeah, he'd have to be one of the best. Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they are dangerous, and I think they're the only team that have really shown to be specifically dangerous against us, to be honest. Maybe victory a little bit. But, yeah, again, I just can't get past the idea that we keep finding ways. We're that team, again, that keeps finding ways to solve these problems. Either they're the coach or they're the performances of individuals who are stepping up to the plate. We just don't seem to have any kind of belief that we will lose.
Oh, nothing. The belief, yeah. I mean, the belief is there, but do you think the break, does it hurt us? Does it help us? You know, have we lost a bit of the momentum that we could have carried through the break there? Or
yeah, I'm a little bit worried about that, but I guess we'll see.
But yeah, you're right. There's a risk for sure.
Has the break given Sydney a chance to reset? They're winless in their last two. They drew against Brisbane, who are a very poor Brisbane side as well, I will say. And then they lost, of course, to table-topping Phoenix in their last A-League outing.
I don't know. Maybe that's been bad for them. I've just been thinking about the losses. We'll see.
But, I mean, they're also fighting for a top six spot. They're fifth at the moment. But they're only 2 points ahead of Melbourne City in seventh, only 3 points ahead of Brisbane Roar, who I think are probably the only two realistic other candidates for the top six at the moment.
I feel like this is a highly motivating period for the players. Mm. They needed a refresh or a freshen up after, like, Bubis Manar cannot have been an easy place to go to.
So. Oh, mate, I saw Jacko and a few of the boys, Jack Wachowski and Maxi Ballard, and that the day that they got back, they all came down to Plume Park to watch the NPL side. They looked knackered. They looked absolutely rooted. Even Maxi, who is the most happy-go-lucky, like the happiest goober you will ever meet in your life, he's normally at about a 12 out of 10 or maybe a 15 out of 10. He was probably at about a 7.5. So that's telling.
It's hard. I just think that would have been a really hard travel, even without having to go via Malaysia, or Alaska. but so freshening them up without maybe, I'm probably talking through my yellow glasses here, freshening up without taking away from our momentum, if you will.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out on Saturday. It's hard to really predict it.
It is, yeah, especially after a break. I mean, the good news is that Nizzy's not lost any momentum because he's been playing for the Socceroos. So.
True. Well, we've had Alou's gone off and scored a bunch of goals.
Of course, yeah. We're not
so
for the under 23.
Maybe he'll come back red hot.
And this is what happens when you've got that sort of competition going on at the club level where players are really pushing hard at that level as well to make sure they're making an impression everywhere, I reckon. So he's got every right to come back and say to Jacko, hey, dude, I'm in form. Mm. Hasn't he?
I think it's probably good for Faz to have had a rest as well, not only in terms of the minutes that he's played, but after the pretty nasty knock that he took against MacArthur a couple of weeks ago there as well. Told that it may have been a low-grade MCL, so hopefully back for this weekend and maybe more realistically back for the City at home game on Tuesday next week.
Seemed to be a social media rumour that it hadn't affected his surfing.
Wow, you've thrown him under the bus.
That's trying to fill under the bus.
That's just go on the record to say that these are very much social media rumours. There is no proof of the fact that Jacob Farrell may have gone surfing at Norahead.
Wow.
I dead set reckon that Matt Hatch has had a part to play in that as well. Hatchy, probably Steely, I reckon, has probably got involved there. Fazzy will be right.
These coasty lads. Gotta watch him.
You love it. You love to see it, right?
Mate, Faz is an absolute ledge. Revelation again this year. Mm-hmm. Done it.
Yeah, he's stepped up again, hasn't he? Yeah, gone to a whole new level.
Him and Niz and Maxi, Dan. Caltech,
Storm, Docker, Chappy.
Okay, that's shorter to
Angel.
All the others as well. Okay, sorry. As you were. Yeah, that's a great place for us to be. Looking forward to finals.
You guys keen to offer a score prediction for this weekend?
You know what? I'm going to go ballsy. Oof. I'm going to go same score, 3-1, us, not them.
Ooh, revenge.
Revenge, exactly.
Revenge.
Jacko, maybe, do it for me, baby.
Maybe 2-1 our way.
I'm tipping a draw.
Draw. Oh.
That's me. That's who I am.
Okay.
There's going to be blood from those splinters.
Gonna keep tipping a draw till it happens.
We don't need a draw.
We win, we go top.
True.
Right.
So, true.
But I'll be happy to get out of there with a point, to be honest.
But I feel like we have not wavered recently, and if, let's hope we're not going to waver during this little break. But have Wellington a little bit?
I mean, there was a little wobble in the early stages of that Sydney game, but they came back and won it. And like I said, yeah,
they're still going well. They are the danger team for me in the end. But yeah, just has felt a little bit like.
I'm not sure they're the danger team in finals for me though, because they've not really got that experience in the championship rounds,
and they've got nothing for us so far. So we'll find that out as well when they come to our place soon.
I mean, they did get beaten by a poor Melbourne City side just a couple of weeks ago in that game before the Sydney game. So maybe there has been a wobble.
That's where my little perception had sort of come from.
Yeah, they nearly threw it away against Adelaide. They had a nil-all draw with Perth as well. So, yeah, it's been fits and starts. It's allowed us to
plow
make
on.
Up that ground as well.
Mm, yes. So, and now we are not on top, but we have a match in hand, yes? Same points.
Yeah. So game in hand, played this weekend. Yep. Yeah, not same. They're 2 points ahead, but or maybe 3 points ahead. Don't have my glasses on, admittedly. So
Game in hand's really the City at home game, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that is actually the game in hand, because that was meant to be played on the Sunday before we went on international break. I mean, if we win this weekend, we go top provisionally, I guess, until Wellington play. And game in hand against City, who hot and cold, right?
Yeah, it depends who they're playing. If they're playing the Wanderers.
Crazy. Red hot.
Wow. Wasn't that a game?
Crazy. Oh,
that was absolutely incredible.
Yep. You'll love to see it.
You know, who are they?
They get beaten by MacArthur 1 week. They get beaten 5-1 by Brisbane the other week. And they come back and absolutely tonk the Wanderers for 7.
Yeah. Wanderers, I don't know what they were doing at the back. They were just letting them in.
Yep.
It's like they want Rudin out.
Well, who are they as well? Mm. Like, they started out a team this season who, you know, I thought they were in the hunt.
Mm.
But they've turned in, like, they've literally collapsed.
Mm. Seems to be a common theme with Marco Rudin's side, so that they have a bit of second or third season syndrome, right? They get burnt out maybe after a couple of years of him at the helm, and then, you know, off you go sailing off into the sunset.
Yeah. It looked like they had no heart.
Sick of being given shit by the coach.
Very good. Melbourne City, Melbourne. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you did there.
Yeah, I meant that.
If players take about 3 years to get sick of coaches putting shit on them, is
But yeah, I mean, he's got 3 more years at the helm, so yeah.
Good on them.
stick at the helm.
I love seeing the uproar from their fans online.
At the helm of what? This would be like a motorized bathtub.
We had our time down there, and it's great sitting at the top laughing at them all.
True.
you got to stand by your man, as Tammy Wynette once sang. So good on him.
You're listening to the Coast Football Ramble Podcast.
I love y'all. No homo.
We've talked about all the blue skies and butterflies and rainbows. It's time to bring a little bit of rain and sadness to the podcast, actually, because it's been a long time since we've had any sort of sadness. Long-time good friend of the show, CEO Sean Millichamp, departing the club after 9 years at the helm as CEO. Gutted. Absolutely gutted.
It's a good time for him to go, though. Spread his wings somewhere else.
Spread his wings.
He came at a horrible time and turned it around.
Yep.
Quit while you're ahead, I think.
Blue skies for him, you know.
Is it blue skies for him going to the Tigers?
No, well, not for me.
I mean, they got to win.
Maybe he can do it again.
The Millichamp effect. They're already winning.
Oh.
Well, they say a change is like a holiday.
Can make movies about this.
And they say a change is like a holiday, and he's been holidaying a little bit since then. So fair play to him.
Yeah. Yep.
This job was consuming him a bit. as a coastie, and we got so much to thank him for.
100%.
Turning things around here and continuing to steer the ship when most people would have abandoned the ship.
Yeah, it would have been pretty easy to quit at some point.
Exactly.
I mean, I can only imagine how emotionally taxing that role would have been, you know, for him who, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He put his absolute heart and soul into everything that he did day in, day out at the club. And as you say, being a coastie as well, you know, it's, it would have been incredibly tough. But, yeah, what a job he did here throughout the course of his tenure. And, you know, he's achieved pretty much everything that he wanted. As far as I know, and you know, he seems happy and pretty content with his decision to move on as well from when I spoke to him the other week. So, you know, good on him, and can't thank him enough for absolutely everything that he's done.
I bet he's looking forward to the finals now as a fan.
As a fan, yeah. Well, that was the first thing he said to me when he told me the news. You know, I'm, you know, really looking forward to getting back into Bay 16 with a beer in hand and watching the games as a fan, you know, sort of thing. And we saw that actually in the home game against Odisha, with a camera cut to him, and he was standing there in the middle of Bay 16 with a beer in hand.
Man of his word.
Man of his word. Man of the people. The people's champion. Yeah.
His departure knocks about our, you know, length of tenure amongst our staff, our local experience.
Oh, it does.
A bit. Yeah. Like before that, obviously Monty was the longest serving staff member, player. Every job in the club, didn't sweep the floor maybe, but did everything else. So now it's a little bit difficult to recognise exactly who the club is, if you will. So hopefully Richie's got a bit of a plan to
You've still got Simo as a sporting director there, I guess, who's, you know, he's going to hopefully...
True, the football department's pretty recognisable.
Yeah.
But the back office, where Sean has been the king, although he's probably been the king of the rest as well, is a little less recognisable. Thankfully, we've got Dan, who has been the membership man. Yeah,
Dan, the membership man. Jordan Purcell returns to the club as head of branding and creative now as well. So that's a huge get to bring him back in. He was here as one of our graphic designers a few years ago, went to the APL and has now come back. He's another one who understands the club and the culture. Brooke in merch is another one who's absolutely brilliant as well. So there's still good people in and around.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. New COO, new CEO.
Yeah.
So we'll find out how they go, I guess.
I'm sure Simo will make sure that they absolutely understand the culture, the coasty culture,
I guess. Appropriate policies.
Yeah.
You reckon that he's already applied the no dickheads policy to those coming in the door? Yep, fair enough then.
Yeah, surely he vets everyone, right?
I think, well, that's how we work here, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's the final boss when you apply for the job.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like, you know, Simo's, you know, one of us.
You're listening to the Coast Football Ramble Podcast.
You boys come up with a good question.
Well, it is, of course, that time of the week where we answer your questions. And thank you all so much, of course, as always, for all your submissions across the various social media platforms. Kicking things off this week with Alan Clout on Facebook. What's the first word that enters your mind when I say Marco Rudan?
Stigma.
It's terrible. Same.
It used to be USB.
Yeah.
But now it's stigma.
Now it's 100% stigma.
Yeah. Sad, really. But true.
Jeff Fletcher wants to mention that he can confirm from his previous podcast comments on our gold strip that now we have finally picked up our game and the gold strip is finally being worn by all. Did you guys notice that? I know you noticed it, Moz, twice.
I heard about it. Some players had the had the gold version and some players didn't in some games.
Yep. There was some games where, it was only being worn by two or three players, or some games where it was being worn by seven or eight, and then it'd go back to one player, and then it's just all over the shop.
Some kind of code.
That's what Sean was alluding to. We need to get him on the pod to give us a proper explanation of this.
It's been a pretty wild ride.
Yeah, we need Nicolas Cage here to sort this out.
Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
There's something going on.
Good reference. Jeff also wants to know, has anything come from the halftime melee against Odisha? Looks like Torres allegedly, Your Honour, dished out a sneaky Liverpool kiss.
I never saw that, but I hope so.
See, I think Mark Jackson was doing the smart thing. He was inviting the Odisha head coach down the tunnel where the cameras weren't. But instead, the Odisha head coach wanted to get in and amongst it right in front of the camera. And then I think, who was it from outside?
Theo Harris got in there. He got in to stop it all.
Tried to calm it down. And then someone...
He was a bit aggressive with his calming down. But
Oh, he probably just knows the coach of the other team, you know. He seemed pretty close to him when he walked over and escorted him away.
I think Theo seems like the kind of guy who knows everyone.
I don't know. True. I don't want anything to happen from it other than more of that. Thank you.
Well, I mean, there was no sanctions at the time or anything like that. So speaking of this, actually, this is one I want to go back to. The zonal... AFC Cup Zonal Final against MacArthur. Zonal champions, you'll never sing that. So Germain got sent off after full time for the little slap on Steely, right? The red card got rescinded because apparently the referee didn't see it. It was a fourth official. No, it was a match commissioner that it happened right in front of. So the match commissioner has reported it to the referee, who's then issued a straight red card to Germain, which MacArthur, as they have a right to do, rightly questioned it, and because the referee didn't see it, he goes, "Oh, okay, it's rescinded then."
Who cares? They're not in that comp anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's going to happen? Yeah. He's going to have to serve a ban in 15 years if he ever played in the AFC Cup for some random Indonesian team or something.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's weird, though.
It is weird. People like asking if he's going to players are going to get bans in the A League, but it's a completely different competition.
Yeah, jurisdiction there. Yeah. But I understand the club did get a little fine for that melee, and I think one of the players involved might have got a personal fine as well. So there you go.
Oof, harsh.
Finally, Jeff also questions. Seems weird to be thinking about this, but with Wellington not recognised in the AFC, should we happen to not raise the Premier's plate but finish runner-up, would we get an ACL spot next season? I assume if we win the AFC Cup, we qualify anyway, so it won't matter. So yes, if Wellington finished Premier's and we finished second, we would get the automatic ACL spot. If we win the AFC Cup and don't get the automatic ACL spot through the league, we would go into the qualification rounds for the ACL. I'd almost kind of prefer to do it that way and get knocked out in the qualifying rounds for the ACL so that we can play AFC Cup again next season, because it's such a tin pot league.
You just want to go back to Bali.
I just want to go back to Bali.
The travel opportunities are amazing.
See straight through that one, mate.
But the travel opportunities are amazing. Who's next? Yeah. I've said their name a few
Kyrgyzstan,
times.
Abdish Atakant.
Abdish Atakant.
As Simon Hill said on the Socceroos broadcast last night, you've got to be a little bit careful with how you say that name.
Yes. There is a hyphen between Atta and Kant. Atakant, I think.
So hopefully that all makes sense in our tin pot Asian confederation there. William Brown, panic stations. Are we living in a simulation? The boys are absolutely back. Are we living in a simulation? It kind of feels like it at times.
It's all real. I felt it the day after the grand final, and we've just been still going that way.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that.
It does remain a little bit surreal, though.
Yeah, I do love The Matrix, though. It's a great movie.
Fantastic film. Statement for today from William. We are doing the treble. Are we doing the treble?
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
Oh, yeah. I guess we can do the treble, yeah.
But does it count as a quadruple because we're the zonal AFC Cup champions? Oh, and if we win the interzonal final as well, then we're the interzonal champions. So it'll be, a quintuple?
The trophies number of trophies man. We're going to need this entire
this is unheard of.
To put all of these zonal.
We're going to need a new cabinet, that's for sure.
Yeah. any cabinet makers out there, if you can hit up the club, 435-27200, I think is the phone number. Just give them a call and offer your services there.
Make sure there's strong cabinets. We keep concrete and steel and all sorts of stuff in our trophy cabinet.
What's Steely doing in the cabinet?
They've locked him up till he pays his fine.
They've galvanised him and attached him to a rock.
Speaking of the AFC Cup, Dean Elphick wants to know, what are the first three things we're doing when we win the $2.3 million for winning the AFC Cup?
Put it on red.
Put it on red. I want it on the bar. Not sure where, but...
Wouldn't want a bit of it on the bar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Josh Nisbet statue. I don't know. What else?
We don't want much.
Mariners Hotel.
Mariners Hotel.
Finally get it.
Mariners Hotel and Casino. And then put it all on red.
Well, then we'd have somewhere to, you know, go and drink.
Roof that over money Bay 16.
On the bar. Also to hoist aloft those pieces of concrete.
Lifetime contract zonals. For Nizzy.
Lifetime.
Yep.
Yeah. We don't
Australian want marquee. Yep. Yep.
I think we want that anyway. Under any circumstance.
I think there's some pretty good answers.
Somewhere in there.
Honestly, how will we even see the money?
Well, that's right. Yeah, as I was mentioning off air just before, the believe the prize money gets filtered through Football Australia before it actually reaches us. So wait, see. Scotty McGee wants to know if we can shed any light on the Hall, Nisbet and Ballard rumours.
They're rumours.
There's some, yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
There's nothing. They're not that secret, are they?
Nah, not really.
Of course, there's going to be clubs going for our players when we're the defending champions and we're sitting near the top.
Yeah. What we can say is that Nizzy hasn't signed anywhere. So.
But the Melbourne City, absolutely, that would be true. Like,
of course, they're after
absolute madness for them not to be chasing the best midfielder in the competition.
Yeah, there's five or six clubs in the A-League that are after him.
Of course. He said he hasn't signed anywhere yet, but that can change.
Things can change very quickly in football. I very highly doubt that we would see him playing anywhere else in the A-League.
Yes. But it's not surprising that the others have had opportunities as well.
Oh, Maxi, well-deserved shot overseas coming up for him. So that's massive. And Dan Hall off overseas too. So, you know, fair play.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't get too worried about it though, because this happened last year and look where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll hurt. But, you know, it'll hurt less when I'm hanging one toilet seat off my left arm, one toilet seat off my right arm and walking down the street. Then it won't hurt as much.
I mean, for all money, Hawley was gone at the end of last season. I like to think of that it was our drunken conversation post-grand final that kept him here.
Probably was.
Agent Pryor.
Agent Pryor at it again. Can I do it again at the end of this season? Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Do it on this then?
Might take a bit of a miracle to keep Hawley here, I think. But, he's, fair play. Taking a bit of a bigger payday there as well. And, look, hopefully Niz sticks around, but if he gets an overseas opportunity, I think he's going to take it. So
yeah, we can't get too upset about that, I don't think.
Yep.
We should want that.
Yep.
Like, you know.
100%.
But we also want Graham to come back.
One more year, please, Nizzy.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Please stay.
If it suits him.
Brenton Harris has a bit of an interesting one for us this week. If the Jets were to fold, who, if any of their players, would you take at the club?
Bum bum.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd take Clayton. Is it Clayton Lewis or Clayton Taylor?
Lewis
Taylor. Said,
MacArthur. Yeah, Clayton Taylor. I'd take Clayton Taylor.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm sure you were bagging him out last time I was on the podcast.
That was Clayton Lewis.
Yeah, he was the one who had a tiff with Benny.
Yep.
The way they played the other week against us, I wouldn't take any of them. But who knows? We may be in a more desperate situation next year.
Oh, I meant as a squatty. Like, he's not going to be a starter. Jason Hoffman, just to keep some posterity around the club when he's still going around in the year 2073, maybe. No, not really. I wouldn't take him.
I wouldn't give him a game with the Gunners, guy, mate. But,
yeah. Nice guy, but I think the league probably passed him by about 6 or 7 years ago, in all honesty.
Yeah. Sure.
What?
15?
How dare you? 100%.
Yeah. Probably that's about it. Big rumor that I did hear, Lucas Moragas.
Oh, I've seen him get burnt in a few games this season.
Yeah.
Like smashed.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is that the reason I know that I don't mind him as a player is because he annoys the shit out of me every time we play against them.
Who, Moragas?
Yeah. Mm. He's just one of those annoying
Don't all Jets players?
Yeah, true. But he particularly annoying. But yeah, still I wouldn't bring him here.
I'd happily be playing Noah Smith over Moragas, to be honest. But
yep, that's fair.
Anyway, wait, see. Just a rumour, as I said. Speaking of the Jets, Keenan Jensen, he says he feels the question is way too late, but turns out it's not. Keenan wants to know our view on the situation that is unfolding up the road at the Jets there. Of course, we all hate the Jets, but if they were to fold, would we miss the F3 derby?
Yeah, I think we would. Mm. It's always a good trip up there, especially when we win.
Which is more often than not.
Yeah, it has been lately.
100%.
Got some good memories of that place. But yeah, like, what can you do?
You never want to see any club in the A-League fold, right? even if it is. And I have found myself in recent times increasingly unsympathetic to their plight, in all honesty. And there were a lot of Jets fans in the early years that, you know, were death riding us when we were struggling financially as well. But you don't want to see it. You hate to see it.
Puts a dent in, you know, that rivalry that we want to enjoy. So I want them to exist. I don't want them to be very good. but I want them to exist and be stably, if that's a word, existing. Mm. I don't even want them to finish last every year. Every second year would be fine.
No, I'm happy with every year, but...
That's fair.
I don't, it's a nice away trip that costs very little money, very little effort.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an hour up the road and it'd be a shame to lose that.
Mm. And to lose the original, the only original derby from our league would be dire. Not all those bullshit manufactured leagues, derbies like Adelaide and Melbourne Victory. That's not a derby.
Oh, I mean,
it's just a rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a rivalry, yeah. It's not a derby in the traditional locality sense of the word, but it is still technically, I guess, a derby because of the rivalry between the two clubs.
It's a derby akin to the Reds of the English Premier League, but it's not a derby such.
You read my mind. Yeah.
It's still the original. We've never ever been given enough credit for it. Don't get to play at the 100%, right times to do it justice, etc.
I mean, if you want to talk about manufactured derbies and manufactured rivalries, the distance derby, you know, Wellington and Perth, or now Auckland and Perth, which is going to be the new distance derby, which they've already tried jumping on that train. And it's, yeah, anyway. Say less.
Yeah, no, that's all I know from me. Our derby's still the original and only the best.
Yep.
Only original and still the best? I don't know. Some gibber.
We know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Johnny Needham says that he missed us. No homo. Full homo. Johnny, we missed you too. Johnny says, with Nizzy finally getting the much-deserved call-up to the Socceroos and the current rumours swirling around about his situation, including his ambiguous responses when questioned, have the Mariners screwed up massively in terms of not re-signing him earlier? Johnny goes on to say that he feels like once you're on that international stage, the likelihood of a sell-on to an overseas club for a pretty penny is going to be far more likely. Why haven't we put money on the table for our most gifted player? Why has that not been a priority for the club? If not for nothing more than the money that we could recoup in a transfer. I could have probably summarised that better, but there you go. It's all on the table.
I'd say they would have put money on the table for him.
Yeah, we've offered him a few contracts. You know, a contract, it goes two ways, right? And there's normally seven or eight people involved.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. And I'd say we'd be wanting to put the least money possible in, and him and his agent would be wanting the most money possible.
I think it's not necessarily just a case of the money, though, as well. You know, he wants to explore his overseas opportunities, and he's been totally open and frank about that. Him being off contract is a more attractive proposition to an overseas club rather than an overseas club having to shell out a transfer fee. And like I said, I'm confident that if nothing materialises for him overseas, that he will re-sign on the dotted line here.
Fair judgment.
I'd love for him to have, you know, re-signed on good money 6 months ago, and for us not to have to be having this conversation. But that's not the way that contracts work in football, unfortunately.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that the club's chosen not to do it.
Mm.
I'm sure they've been trying to do it.
Yeah.
If you think about the timing of his history, if that was a two-year extension, and I think it was, then immediately after we did that extension, then he hit the ground running hard. Mm-hmm. And no doubt from that very moment, Monty started trying to re-sign him, and or the conversation that has to happen in that.
Yeah.
And then his performances have just grown and grown and grown. Why on earth would he want to sign any of those contracts when there's an opportunity here that, you know, He can take advantage of the timing. Sometimes it falls for the club. This time it's fallen for him. But yeah, I'm guessing that we have been smashing him with potential offers.
Would have been nice if we had a club activated option in his contract for an automatic extension. If the club chooses to trigger that in the final year of his contract, it's a shame that we didn't add that in. Maybe he didn't want that in. Maybe he negotiated that out of his contract. But you know, he's been through a few different agents over the last few years as well, I'm told. So, yeah,
I think it's fair to say we missed the ball a bit here, because you can't tar it up any other way other than our best player is going to leave now. now without any transfer fee. Mm. And we will have recognised that sometime, but we didn't get to it at the right time.
Yeah, I think Nizzi and Mbappe will be big losses this season for their respective clubs.
Oh, well, one more year of Niz. Just one more year, please. That's all I ask. Johnny also asks, any truth to the, again, resurfaced rumours of the club being merged or moved down to Canberra and that being part of Sean's decision to move on? Nah, not at all.
It's a separate bid, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely zero truth to the rumours.
Which APL, they absolutely believe that's going to get up in time.
It's not happening next season. There will be no Canberra A-League men's team next season.
Well, that's...
Not at all.
That's at loggerheads with what the commissioner said last night to the fans. So
no, that's really?
That's what they believe.
Jesus Christ.
And by the way, they also believe that the noise in the media does only disguises the fact that Capital Football are all in for this.
Aside from the fact that Capital Football cancelled their press conference today because they're running for the hills.
This is what the APL is telling
us. Oh, my days. All right.
It's going to happen. And Newcastle's going to happen as well. So
yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they had better hope that Newcastle does happen, because if they don't get the ownership situation resolved by the end of the season, I think they're gone. Yeah. You know, two of the clubs that were funding them have already pulled out their funding. So
yeah. And the real issue, of course, is that you can't have our club, the other clubs, being interfered with in their timings and schedulings by the presence of half-done deals. So it's going to get interesting.
Cameron Oxley, he's stolen Cameron Smith's thunder a little bit here, but play one, bench one, sack one. So it is a little bit different. The options this week, John Aloisi, Marco Rudan and Steve Corica. Yeah, easy one for me. Play John Aloisi, bench Steve Corica and sack Marco Rudan.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep. We've already played him, Aloisi, so that's an easy one.
And he'll always be a Mariner.
Yeah.
So for that reason, he's the player.
Actually, didn't he miss a sitter in the grand final, though? Like, it was like a header. Oh, yeah. Nizzi had a chance, but won't hold that against him too much.
Nah, he still did a job for us while he was here.
Yeah.
You know, he moved down the road for squillions of dollars after that, but, you know.
This is what players do. Unfortunately, but they're still us, so.
Yeah. And apparently Steve Corica, nice guy off the pitch. On the pitch, not so much, but off the pitch, yeah, really lovely dude.
Wasn't he off the pitch as a coach? And he seemed like an absolute
dick. Well, I mean, okay.
Out of football.
Out of the tunnel.
Out of the football.
Outside of football, yeah. Nice guy, yeah, by all accounts. So there you go.
Probably nicer than Rudan.
Well.
Just, you know.
Allegedly.
Relativities.
I mean.
So it said on a document on a USB drive anyway.
Or one of his several burner accounts on Twitter that he keeps getting caught out for and then promptly deleting.
You can't use your initials in your birth date of birth in your tag handle. In your handle and they'll get caught out. And only respond to criticism of Mark Rudan.
Oopie daisies. Speaking of Twitter, turning our attention to some of the questions and comments coming over on Twitter. Cameron Smith with a start one, bench one, sell one, strikers edition in their prime. Oof. Prime Matt Simon, prime Danny McBrain, and prime Jason Cummings.
Ooh. Shit.
So immediately my mind goes to bench Simo, because he was the archetypal come off the bench for the last 10, 15 minutes and just cause absolute fucking havoc. So that's where I'm at with
that. What are options again? Play, sack, bench?
Start, bench, sell.
Sell. Oh. Do you sell Cummings? Because
we already did.
And we got a lot of money?
Yeah. That's where my head's at too.
I think.
Yep.
Yep.
There's a lot of logic in
play that. Play McBrain because he was a goal machine.
Yep.
At his peak.
Yep. Bench Simo to bring him on for the last 10, 15 minutes and, sell Cummings. I think Cummings has probably got a higher sale value than Macca would have had for us as well, in fairness.
True.
Well, especially now. Macca's a bit older now.
I'm not telling Simo he's on the bench.
I think in terms of like being a striker, I think Cumdog's a bit better than McBrain, because McBrain played that strange sort of almost
a false 10 at
9,
times.
10 yeah, sort of role.
Yep.
But he still banged a lot of goals, but he had a bit more to his game, I think.
Mm.
and we're talking about a striker here, so I'd say cum dog's better, but we have to sell one. Mm. Yeah, we sell cum dog.
Yep. Ka-ching.
Yeah. take the Indian rupiah, I think is their currency, and move on.
Trillions of them.
Yeah. Squillions, even. Mm. Warren Menier on Twitter asks, how do you see the A-League ladder looking at the season end? Also, welcome back. Probably pretty similar to what it is now, except with the Mariners at the top.
Hope so.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the teams out of the six, other than what like the ones we mentioned, were pretty close.
Yeah,
like
City and Roar are the only two, I think.
Seems like there's only a little bit of room for a small amount of movement.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's only five rounds to go, six games for us until the end of the season, so 18 points on offer. We could potentially finish on 58 points, which would be, if memory serves me correctly, more than Melbourne City got in their premiership win last season. Yes, indeed, Melbourne City finished with 55 points. Season before that, Melbourne City only finished with 49 points. So, I mean, as it stands, we're only 9 points off what City got in their previous premiership win. So I think we're a good chance for the top spot. I think Western Sydney will fall out of the six. I think City will just sneak in there.
I think that's probably right.
Mm. But other than that, yeah, I see it pretty similar. Us, Wellington, and then toss a coin for Sydney, Melbourne or MacArthur in third spot. Probably Sydney, in all honesty.
Yeah, Sydney's probably, I don't know, like, MacArthur and Victory seem to just get streaks of not undefeated streaks.
Yeah. I've
lost the word. I don't know how they're sort of doing that. They're getting some draws and things, whereas Sydney a bit hot and cold maybe. Mm. So I'm not sure where they'll end up at the end of the season. But
they'll be a dangerous team if they end up in
some of those
spots.
Yeah, I think they were one of the ones to be a bit nervous about. Victory, just when they're on the ball, they just look too slow. And
yeah, I think they got a little bit lucky with some sparkling Fornaroli performances early in the season that made it look like they were better than they really were.
Papered over the cracks a bit.
100%.
I think like their typical game was against us at Allianz, where they're up, they got a nice penalty, and then they were just coasting on that for the whole game. And
nothing much delivered.
They played like they were up by 3 goals, and they're only up by one. And when we caught them napping for a second, two passes and they're gone.
What a ball. Yeah. What a ball. That three ball from Maxi leaves rent free in my head.
But they all just stood there for a second and he just ran straight through them and then slipped it through the gap.
As Boise said, you know, early in the piece, they are the worst undefeated side until they lost that streak. They were the worst undefeated side that I can remember seeing.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a part of me that actually wants Wellington to get first spot because I wouldn't mind winning our third toilet seat in Wellington.
In Wellington, 100%. Like,
sorry, honey, my wife will definitely come to the grand final if it's in Wellington, but if it's in Sydney, it might be harder.
No, I want the plate. I want all the trophies.
I do want
that's
the plate.
Fair. That is fair.
Yeah, no, I'd love a Welly away grand final, but.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool.
I'm so torn between wanting to win the plate and going to Wellington away again. Nah, it's a plate for me. It's the plate.
Yeah,
too much money. The plate. I'd rather save money and spend it on the bars.
In Para, yeah.
Holiday, though. It's just appeals.
Just save it up for ACL away trips next season, mate. It's fine. And finally, Fergie Time on Twitter says, welcome back. What does everyone think of the possibility of a treble? If that does happen, would this be one of the best, if not the best, teams in A-League history?
That's a massive call.
Yeah.
Putting them up against the likes of Ange's Barcelona from, you know, 2010 to 2012 sort of thing.
Mariners 2013 was really, really good.
Yep. Mariners 2023 was pretty good. I think this season were probably better in fairness.
But much different, whereas some of those older teams, there was more maybe consistency over those couple of years than there is with these teams. Like, we're a different side this year, aren't we, really?
We are a different side. Yeah. I guess you're right. You know, you look at the Melbourne Victory squad that Ange had for a couple of years there as well. You know, they were pretty consistent. Even when Muscat came in and took the reins, they were very consistent. Graham Arnold's championship winning Sydney FC side remained consistent even when Steve Couric came in and took over and inherited that side, which is probably why he went on to have a couple of years of success there as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, for a squad like us to have had so much turnover over the last, you know, even just over the last 12 months, I think it'd have to be in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, definitely be up there.
If you're rating it on trophies, we've got it hands down. We've got that many zonals that.
Yeah, how many finals can we win this year, right? The exactly. The zonal final, the interzonal final, the interzonal final, the intertoto cup final.
Yeah.
It's definitely in the conversation for me. I don't know if it would be the best, but one of the best is, yeah.
I think that's right. Mm. Absolutely has to be our best ever, most successful ever combination if we win all those trophies.
Yeah, because, sure. Well, yeah, getting the plate in the championship straight away is better than what we've ever done, isn't it?
Yeah, we've never done the double.
We've never done the double, so straight away that's our best.
It's a shame we went out in the first round of the Australia Cup and could have had the quadruple.
Wow.
Imagine that. Imagine.
We would have been playing every 2 days.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Seems to have been better for us.
So yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it keeps the run going. It is just about all we have time for this week on the Return of the Coast Football Ramble podcast. As always, thank you all so much for tuning in. Absolute pleasure to have you along for the ride. Fellas, good to be back.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for coming.
Loved it. Always good to get back in here and get a bit of recording done.
We'll see you down at Sydney on Saturday and then back at home on Tuesday. That is it. We are out of here. For us, it's love you. See you. Bye.
That's a hard perspective to come at, to be honest, because none of them would get a f***ing run in our f***ing academy. They're f***ed. That's a very hard ask. The more I think about that, it's like, f***ing hell.
I was about to say, I'm going to leave all of this in until you get to that point. Boz going on a swearing rant is pretty rare.
Blooper at the end.